Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text 65, perfection renunciation. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam vivaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosime. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Well, let's repeat this, please. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. And offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Purport. By Srila Prabhupada, the most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he'll be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face, and a peacock feather in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. This is the end of the Bhagavad Gita, so Krishna is giving us knowledge of what the whole Bhagavad Gita is about. He summarized not only in this verse, but in the next, from 65 until 69, Krishna summarizes the whole Bhagavad Gita again. And here he says that the perfection or our aim is to think about Krishna. That may seem very ordinary, but as Prabhupada once mentioned, that within our heart there's a transcendental television. And in that television, we can turn on to channel Krishna. But that's a multi-dimensional reality, spiritual reality. And when we turn on to Krishna, not only we can see Krishna and his associates in their pastimes, but we'll be able to actually experience Krishna's presence. The same loving exchanges that Krishna has with his devotees, we can also experience. In other words, one is actually situated in a platform of love and bliss. And there's a process of going there, reaching that platform, and this is what Krishna explains here. He says that one should mold his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think about Krishna. It's just like if you have an iron and you put it into the fire, then the iron will grow hotter and hotter and hotter, and then eventually it'll become like fire. But if we take the iron out of the fire and we put it into ice water, it's going to take a long time. So similarly, for those who are fortunate, who understand who are encouraged, enthusiastic to go to Krishna, to become Krishna conscious, there's a process of doing it. But that process we have to accept, and of course we have to understand what is our current circumstances, where we're at now, where we want to go, and where are the different steps to get there. But basically speaking, Krishna has given us what we can say a healthy diet for Krishna consciousness. Just like in Ayurveda, there are six tastes. There is sweet, there is salty, there is sour, there's pungent, there's astringent, and there's bitter. And according to Ayurveda, a healthy diet is when all these six tastes are there in the proper degree. Is someone translating, by the way? Oh, okay. Good. So, am I going too fast? A little slower is better. Yeah. So, a healthy diet is when we have all these six tastes. Similarly, there are different aspects of devotional service, and they're progressive. First thing is, Krishna says, manmana, to think about Krishna. Well, we can't think about Krishna unless we hear about him. There's nothing to think about if we don't hear about him. If we only chant japa, and we don't know how to chant japa, even if we could chant japa and listen, nothing would come, practically speaking, because it would not be. There's nothing to be reminded of. Every time we say a word, that it reminds us of something. To use a gross example, if I said the word Mickey Mouse. Now, Mickey Mouse is universal, at least in the Kali Yuga. It wouldn't be very difficult for us to visualize a mouse. Matter of fact, it would be very easy to see the two big ears. Everyone knows what his dress is. What color is his dress, Mickey Mouse? What? Red? You have a different Mickey Mouse than mine. I have the real Mickey Mouse. What color is his dress? Luckily, you've all forgotten. That proves how powerful Krishna consciousness is. All right, we'll ask more definitely. Who's his girlfriend? Many, even from India, they know that. Just see, it's universal. Yes. What color is his dress? It's red. I guess I you're right. I was thinking about his ears. That's what I remember. So, if we hear the word Mickey Mouse, we automatically remember a mouse. And he's not only that, we remember his consort, his friends. Everything is there. Too much memory comes back. But if we say the word Krishna, we just draw a blank. We could say Krishna or whatever. Because we haven't heard, we have to hear about Krishna regularly, Shrinvatam, Swakata, Krishna. So it's fresh in our minds who this Krishna is. So then if we actually pay attention and we chant Hare Krishna, not just Hare Krishna, but the intention is to engage in his loving service. Now, in order to engage in Krishna's loving service, we have to be loving. It's not that we're going to engage in loving Krishna. I'm going to be the same old cranky person. I'm going to chant Hare Krishna. I'm going to experience the love affair between Krishna and his devotees in the spiritual world and remain the same old cranky person. Envious, cranky, disturbed. No, we actually have to become like Krishna and the residents of the spiritual world. Then we can enter. But of course, it's not so easy. What are we supposed to do? So we have to know what the process is in order to be able to chant Hare Krishna with some attention and some feeling. Just like chanting japa. Anyone here chant japa? I chant japa too, that's why it's raised. See, I chanted my rounds today. So here's my japa beads. Now I heard one time that Prabhupada said, does anyone know how Prabhupada chanted japa? His method of chanting on beads? Well, you'll learn something, at least from this class. Prabhupada used to take the bead and he'd go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He'd stop on Rama and just, he wouldn't, and therefore he went to the next one. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's very good. Generally, chanting japa should not be like, this is just a hint, it shouldn't be like a machine gun. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. There's no space between one Krishna and Hare, and it's just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Oh, I feel so good. My burden is being lifted. No, it should be, we have to, otherwise it becomes monotonous, it just becomes mechanical. It has to be, you know, if we break it up though, like what Prabhupada would do, it's not, I was learning, it's not only Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we can actually see that there's some difference between one Hare and one Krishna, and one Rama and one Hare. There's a difference. Each word is Krishna and Rama and Hare, but we have to discriminate between them. Otherwise, we won't be able to hear them. And then we pay, that's called paying attention. The art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention and then giving one's love to Krishna. So we actually focus our attention on the holy name, then we can actually relax a little bit. Then all these different anxieties that go through our mind about what happened yesterday, what's happening right now, what's going to happen tomorrow, they can all go away. And we can actually try to happily, lovingly call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna the best we can. And the result is, may not come immediately, but if we keep at it, then eventually we'll start remembering Krishna sometimes. That's called Krishna consciousness, remembering Krishna, spontaneously. So how to get to that process? So there are five different elements of devotional service that Krishna mentions in this verse. And he'll explain in further verses, up to 69. First thing is we have to hear about Krishna. That's called worship. We can't worship Krishna until we find out how wonderful he is. Of course, first of all, we should find out how great he is, because otherwise we won't be appreciated how wonderful he is, because we won't have so much. First, we find out that Krishna is actually controlling things here. It's not us. That there's actually a person behind everything that goes on. And that takes a little experience, and that gradually we can develop some faith by hearing how wonderful, how great Krishna is. Then we have to learn how to associate with Krishna's devotees, because Krishna's devotees are very dear to Krishna, and depending on how we associate with them, Krishna reciprocates with us also. We can deny or ignore Krishna on the altar, which is not a good idea, by the way. We can pretend that he's just a statue. But if we pretend that the devotees are statues, we'll get into a lot of trouble, more than if we pretend Krishna's a statue. I remember one time I was on a bus, on the train in India, in Bombay. And I was going from one part of the city to the next. This is 1974. And the trains are quite crowded. So I got on the train and finally found a seat after some stops. And it became more and more crowded and someone came by and sat on me. He didn't think I would complain because he thought I was a seat. So seats don't complain. Did ever like that happen to you?
I just don't travel in trains that
So that's called impersonalism. At least for me, it seemed pretty impersonal. So most of us, we don't really understand how Krishna is in everyone's heart and how especially the devotees are acting under the spiritual energy. And therefore, we have to learn how to associate with them. It doesn't come spontaneously. It comes from experience and learning. Therefore, we have something called etiquette we're supposed to follow. The etiquette is not supposed to be done mechanically. For instance, when we bow down and we pay obeisances, the important part is not the yoga exercise. The important part is the mantra we chant and are taking it, hearing it, and trying to understand what it is so we can take it seriously. And for instance, we have spiritual masters, especially in our society nowadays, they're given a very exalted position. But the idea of giving the spiritual master an exalted position and serving them with care and attention is to practice on at least one devotee some devotional service. So that same practice in that we give the love and attention we give to that devotee, we can expand to all the devotees appropriately. That the spiritual master is supposed to teach us how to engage in loving relationships with every level of devotee. It's not the same. Some devotees we just offer respect within our mind, but the respect is there, real respect. Not that, all right, you're a fool and rascal, but okay. You appear you're chanting something that looks like Hare Krishna, so obeisances, Prabhu, you rascal. Actually have some sincere feeling and respect towards devotees just because they're chanting Hare Krishna. And to cooperate with the devotees who are initiated. Initiated means they're trying to give up their false ego. They're identifying themselves as a servant of the servant of Krishna. They're trying to identify themselves, and they're engaged in worshiping the deity, whether the deity in the temple or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we try to cooperate with them to serve Krishna, rather than compete with them or try to get them out of the way. Hey, get out of my way. So that's called cooperation. That's for especially the Madhyama Adhikari devotee. That's what he's supposed to learn. One who's aspiring to become Madhyama Adhikari, he learns how to love Krishna, first of all, and how to respect the devotees appropriately. And it's all coming down from the Mahabhagavat, the example, and the teachings, and they filter down. In modern society, it was Lord Jesus Christ, or Lord Muhammad, which apparently to some people is not the best example, for some reason, because we don't really know what the real activities that they did were. All we have is this, whatever is written in these not so well documented scriptures they have. But we have Prabhupada, who showed us the perfect example of how to act selflessly to help people revive their love for Krishna. So Prabhupada was a Mahabhagavat, and it filters down, and some devotees, by their past service and their past experience, they may pick up more easily, more readily, and exhibit the knowledge and the example that Prabhupada displayed of selflessly helping others come back to Krishna, how to perfectly reciprocate with every person Prabhupada came in contact with, to encourage them somehow or another to make progress towards human life or towards Krishna consciousness. So this is loving exchanges with the devotees appropriately. And then the next stage is to try to increase our own personal sadhana, our own seriousness in devotional service. Try to chant better, try to have avyakta kalatvam, time management, try to make some improvement in devotional service to fill in the gaps between our Krishna consciousness. So that takes some knowledge and experience from learning from others and experience of how to manage our time, how to manage our sadhana, how to manage our material life, how to make our family life more devotional. That's also part of sadhana. How to make our dealings in the material world more devotional. And then one will become inspired to do service to the mission. If we actually have faith that this is a spiritual mission and I'm getting spiritual experience from it, then we'll become encouraged to actually do some service for it. And if we think it's just, you know, I got to do enough service to get something to eat and a place to sleep or a little reputation, whatever, then it's all right in the beginning. Especially in our society, we have this idea that if you get initiated, Prabhu, then he takes all your karma. And you're free. You'll go back. He guarantees you're going to go back to Godhead, no matter what nonsense you do in this lifetime. At the time of death, he's so merciful. He's going to pick you up and send you back to the spiritual world. You just have to chant, snake, snake, ram, ram, day, 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 Hey, kitty, kitty, hey, kitty, kitty, Ram, Ram, baby. And everything's solved. All right. This is a good deal. I follow for 6 months. He gives me my name. And I'm free to do whatever damn thing I want to do from now on. I'm going back to the spiritual world. But actually, one has become serious about service. The idea of taking initiation, the idea of becoming a member of our society, because devotional service proceeds in three different phases. One is believing in Krishna, that he actually exists. Srila Prabhupada once said, one of the problems in the Hare Krishna movement is that the devotees don't believe in Krishna. It's quite a problem. So gradually believing Krishna is God, he's the supreme lovable object of my life, etc. Then we have to belong to Krishna's devotees, belong to his society of devotees. We have to feel that we're a member, that we belong. Otherwise, how is it possible to join Krishna's family in the spiritual world and have no Krishna's family here in the material world? That family has to develop. That universal feeling that everyone, even the Christians had that, and St. Francis, that everyone is my brother and sister. Even the Christians have the idea in their theology. Father, brother, bird, sister, you know, whatever. So that universal feeling that we're all part of one spiritual family has to develop by joining something that's part of Krishna's family, feeling like we're a member. And it has to be, eventually it has to be something definite, with some obligation, like when we take initiation, we chant, vow to chant 16 rounds and follow the four of the principles. But that's not enough to bring us back to Godhead. It's not enough to keep following the four of the principles, chant 16 rounds every day. It won't be sufficient. Because we need the association of devotees. We need the association of feeling so that we engage in service together for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. It's service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission that brings us back to the spiritual world, of which chanting Hare Krishna is an essential part of it, and following the four regular principles is essential, but also the association, developing loving relationships with the devotees is a method of coming to the spiritual platform. After all, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that first we have to give up hankering and lamentation and then see everyone as spiritual beings. Then we can begin real devotional service. So service to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then develop a burning desire like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has and his associates to give Krishna consciousness to others. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness just remains on the theoretical platform. And we may go on hearing and hearing and hearing. We get more and more fat on knowledge. That's why the Christians who keep on hearing and hearing and hearing, they get so fat on knowledge that they just roll them down the aisle. That's why they call it holy rollers in America. Because they keep on eating and eating, but they don't do any work, service. The problem with just accumulating more and more knowledge and more information, if we don't act on it, then we become proud. We think we know something, when we actually don't know anything, or hardly anything. Unless we realize we're not this body, unless we see Krishna face to face and engaging in our eternally loving relationship with him, then our knowledge is quite small compared to what actually real knowledge is. Therefore, without hearing about Krishna regularly, for instance, if we don't hear about Krishna regularly, we just come once a week on Sunday, which hopefully we do anyhow, it won't work very well. It works, but not so well. It's like, imagine, throughout the whole week, you fast. You don't eat anything. And then on Sunday, you come to the temple for a big feast. Is that going to be a very healthy diet? So if we hear about Krishna once a week, and we don't hear about him for the rest of the time, we don't serve him for the rest of the time, it's not a very healthy diet, a spiritual life. So we have to arrange our lives, we have to associate regularly with devotees, and perform the activities of hearing about Krishna, developing loving relations with Krishna, with the devotees of Krishna, telling them our realizations and hearing their realizations. Just like every Sunday here, or during the week even, someone like me sits on here and tells you all my realizations, which compared to reality is about that big. Anyhow, Prabhupada said, in the absence of a big tree, even a casta bush, a little small bush, appears to be big. But we actually have to give everyone the opportunity, all the devotees, an opportunity to tell their realizations to each other. We have to all become preachers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say that there's this certain class of people called sannyasis or gurus, whatever. They're the preachers, and everyone else is a dodo for 50 years, sitting there hearing the same thing over and over again. No, everyone should have an opportunity in small groups or whatever, especially in small groups. If you meet with your friends, three or four friends, and you read together and you tell each other realizations, then you won't be shy about saying something. If we ask someone to come up here and talk, and we go, oh my God, I'm not going to, they'll make a fool out of me. No. We should do it in small groups so that we can actually tell each other what we've understood. And we should hear from others and try to appreciate what they've understood. We may think, oh, this person, he's a pretender, whatever. And then we hear some realization. We think, wow, thank you very much. I didn't realize you were a devotee. It's nice hearing from you after 20 years. You said something about Krishna. I didn't realize you actually knew him somewhat. And then we actually have to learn how to become serious about our sadhana, about our time management, about so many different things, how to improve. And then after that, become inspired to utilize our talents, our abilities, our inspirations in service to Krishna, so that we actually feel that we actually have a purpose of life, a higher purpose that we're fulfilling. And there's no purpose more important than going back to the spiritual world. Everything else is, in comparison, is practically useless. Because this lifetime is very short, and at the end of this lifetime, we can't take anything with us. Our job doesn't go with us. Our bank balance doesn't go with us. Our family doesn't go with us. Nothing goes with us. Even our body doesn't go with us. The only thing we take with us is our devotional service. Therefore, there's nothing much more, anything in this world more important than devotional service. So to utilize our energies in Krishna's service, according to what abilities Krishna has given us, according to our heart, what we're inspired to do, according to our natural abilities we acquire from birth, according to our personalities, and according to our own experiences, to utilize those things in Krishna's service to help others become Krishna conscious, there's nothing more valuable than that. There's nothing more rewarding than that. There's nothing that will be rewarded more than that. And then that will develop the burning desire to be just the same mood as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that whoever we meet will be very much interested in helping them become Krishna conscious, that all our relationships will become spiritualized. And every moment we'll have a purpose in our existence, which brings about more love, more bliss, more realizations of love and bliss. So there can't be anything better than what we're engaged in, and we just have to organize ourselves a little bit better, our own lives, the whole society better, so that we get the actual full fruit of what we're all hankering for. That love of Krishna in full consciousness of everyone and everything in relationship to him. Love for everyone. Imagine everyone you looked at, you were in love with. I mean, in a spiritual way. How nice that would be. You wouldn't mind looking at anyone. Everyone would be inspiring to you. And you would be inspiring to everyone. Because everyone's looking for a friend. And if you become everyone's friend, then everyone will think, well, this is a nice person. And that's what Krishna consciousness has to offer. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
I would just like to ask, when you mentioned the importance of associating with devotees, I would just like to ask, in the moments when there is like danger that we act wrongly in the relationship with them, where can we like take shelter in order that we get like strength to act correctly according to etiquette, to write Yeah.
To do the right thing.
Mut.
Yeah. Well, before you fly a plane, you should learn the instructions in the manual, how to fly the plane. So therefore, Prabhupada's books are the manual. The Association of the Devotees can teach us by their instructions and by their example what to do. And if we take it seriously and remember these instructions and try to assimilate them, then when the time comes, we'll get some idea what to do. And we can try to put it into practice. If it works, we'll become encouraged to study more. And if it doesn't work, we'll become encouraged to study more too, find out what we did wrong. But the basis is hearing the instructions found in Prabhupada's books, and for those who are following the books, what their realizations are, try to understand what to do before, and then practice in our relationships. So they become, we know they should be more Krishna conscious, they should be more since in the mood of service to help others become Krishna conscious by giving prasadam and accepting prasadam, etc. If we find out what it means to act in Krishna consciousness, then we try it out and we practice, that's all. And if we make a mistake, then we learn from our mistakes. And if we don't make any mistakes, then we realize that by the mercy of Krishna and his representatives, I've learned something. I've become a better instrument by their mercy. And we don't become proud that I'm a great devotee, I'm so kind, I'm so nice, I'm so wonderful, I'm blessing everyone by my presence. We don't become proud, we remain humble, realizing how nice everyone is, that they're accepting our insignificant service.
So for many of us, there's a 40-hour work week. So how to feel not discouraged, how to feel inspired to practice? Because it takes a lot of energy and time from us.
Well, if we chant Hare Krishna, well, let's put it this way. 40 hours, I think most of us who live in the temple, our work week, I get up at 3 or 2 o'clock, my day goes until 9. So that's more than 40 hours a week. So it's not the number of hours, it's our consciousness in what we're doing. Now Prabhupada wanted for the householders, they should give some percentage of their earnings in the service of Krishna, especially to spread Krishna consciousness. Something. Of course, if we say what Prabhupada said, what Rupa Goswami did, everyone will think this is crazy. But something should be given, and we should have some sadhana. It may not be as elaborate as the devotee in the temple, but we should have something that keeps us afloat in Krishna consciousness. We get our daily spiritual meal every day, hopefully morning and the evening. So we remain sustained in Krishna's service. Otherwise, we say, well, I have a 40-hour work week, I got to relax. That relaxation means we're getting deeper into the modes of material nature. So we shouldn't think, oh, this is a heavy burden, chanting Hare Krishna. I have to associate regularly with Srimati Radharani and Krishna and the spiritual world. It's a heavy burden. I'd rather watch television and relax a little bit. Watch all the killings that are going on, the robberies, the thieves, the corruption that's going on. That way I can relax. Now we should spend some time hearing about Krishna. Then we can actually really relax, in reality. Otherwise we just get deeper and deeper into this bad nightmare that's Kali Yuga. Anything else? Yes.
So the question is, Prabhupada said in his books that now the demons are fooling everybody for the last 200 or something years, and he said when he was alive it's going to last 50 years more. Can you comment about this, maybe?
That was 50 years ago, I think.
Yeah, so now it's a breaking point. Now, like plus minus 10 years, maybe, I don't know.
Well, it all depends upon ourselves individually, whether we want to get out of illusion or not. As far as society, that will depend upon the Hare Krishna movement becoming alive and dynamic. That means individually, collectively, we actually become engaged in those five processes that I mentioned. All of us hear about Krishna regularly. We learn how to associate with each other in loving service. we become inspired to increase and deepen our Krishna consciousness and devotional service. We become servants of the mission, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We develop a burning desire to distribute this Krishna consciousness to others. Then there'll be a change in society. Otherwise, why will society change? There's no way. Society is in the darkness of ignorance. The whole economic system, the whole society is just based on illusion, specifically sinful activities. Cow killing, the whole economic system is based on technology and industrialization is based upon cow killing, bull killing, killing their children now, killing each other. How can it change? It's only going to get worse. There's no protest. There's no discovering who's actually behind the whole thing. Behind the whole thing is illusion. That's who's behind the whole thing. And the only way of getting free from illusion, getting out of it, is the sunlight of Krishna consciousness. And that depends upon this movement. Depends upon ourselves individually to become Krishna conscious and distribute it to others. Otherwise, there's going to be a change in society. We've seen that. But it's only going to be for the worse. Maybe if it keeps on going without the Krishna consciousness movement increasing sufficiently, maybe we'll see little pygmies running around eating each other soon. That's possible. It's accelerating so quickly. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, if I understood you correctly, your lecture, you are speaking about three levels of spiritual advancements. First, we hear about Krishna, then we associate with devotees of Krishna, and then we do some practical service.
And we become Krishna conscious. First we believe in Krishna, then we belong to Krishna's family, then we become Krishna's pure devotee.
But my question is, and if we don't have faith that ISKCON will take care of us and we don't want to become part of society...
Go home. Mommy will take care of you, hopefully. She didn't kill you.
I don't have any more mom.
Well, maybe. Is Dada there? Papa?
Daddy also not.
I guess you're lost. Your good wife will take care of you, don't worry.
Ravana had 100 heads?
10 heads.
10 heads, ten. Okay. Yeah. So she's having problem to understand that. How is this possible?
Well, first you have to believe that Brahma has 4 heads before you can believe someone else had 10. There are people born even on this planet nowadays. Have you seen on the internet these people who have 2 heads in one body? Even animals have that too now. Can you believe that someone could have 2 heads in one body? Do you believe that?
I see the 10.
Yeah, 10 is, you know, it's a little crowded. Two is company, 10 is a crowd. Okay. Khala Grantharaj Madhvagita Kitai.